The canvas walls of the dressing tent were discolored with brown water spots, with green grass stains and gray streaks of mildew, and the prickles of sun glittering came through. On the ground, the close-cut barley stubble stood in bunches, with a black doby earth between. Near to one cloth wall, there was a large and travel-beaten trunk, with dull brass straps and corners, its lid upraised, and a mirror the whole size of the top disclosed. Joe Saul sat on a folding canvas chair before the trunk. He was naked to the waist, but he had on tights and slippers. He dabbed the yellow powder on his face and painted his eyes with black, not carefully. A lithe and stringy man of middle age, Joe Saul. His jaws muscled against strain and cables down the sides of his neck. His arms were white and blue veined, with the long cords of clinging and hanging, rather than the lumps of lifting. His hands were white, the fingers spatulate, and palms and fingers calloused from the rope and bar. Joe Saul's face was rough and a little pockmarked. His eyes looked large and dark and glittering within their penciled edges. He finished his makeup and took a little bottle of dark hair dye from the trunk, poured some on a brush, and worked the stain into his thick, graying hair, particularly at the temples. Then neatly he packed his powder and bottles back in the trunk and slipped on the shirt of his tights and cinched his canvas belt. Only a small bulge showed over the belt. He leaned back in his chair and flexed his hands so that the thin muscles of his forearms squirmed. From outside the dressing room came sounds of the developing show, call of Barker and skirl of Calliope and thin waltz of merry-go-round backed by the chutter of gathering people. And nearer sounded grunts of lions and whoosh of elephants, grunt and squeal of pigs, and discontented snort of horses against the brass wail of a circus trombone. And Joe Saul flexed his hands and looked down at them. From outside the flap came three short whistles in place of knocking. "Come in," said Joe Saul. And Friend Ed stepped through the flap. Friend Ed was broader, taller, heavier than Joe Saul, slower in motion and speech. He was dressed and made up, too. A big pants clown, roughed at neck, wrists, and ankles. White suit with big red polka dots. And feet as long and curved as barrel staves. A white face, red rubber nose, sad black mouth, and black lines over the eyelids. High on his forehead were painted the inverted V's of astonishment. He had created on his face a look of surprised perplexity. Only his thick dark hair and hands were his own. He carried the bald head with fringe of bright red hair and the big false hands. Joe Saul closed the trunk lid to make a place for him to sit, and Friend Ed dropped his hairpiece and his false hands on the trunk and seated himself on its edge and swung his big floppy clown foot gently back and forth. "Where's Mordeen?" he asked.
"She went to sit with Mrs. Malloy's baby," said Joe Saul. "Mrs. Malloy's gone off to the post office to send a money order to her son Tom," he said monotonously. "Her son Tom, my son Tom. He's in college, you know."
Joe Saul sat up tight straight.
"I'm sure, Friend Ed, I don't tell you for the first time that Mrs. Malloy has got a son Tom that's in college and only 19. Did you hear about that, Friend Ed? Did you hear about it 20,000 times?
Friend Ed opened his black mouth so that the red inner lips and little white teeth showed.
"Don't curse him, Joe Saul," he said. "Or her."
"Who's cursing?"
Joe Saul leaned back and flexed his hands on his knees.
"She's a nice woman," he said. "And I guess if you've got a son, Tom, in college, you've got a little fringe of God Almighty on your head. But I wouldn't curse her. I'm glad for her. She's a nice woman."